welcome to the Blissful Body Podcast. I'm your host, Kai Autumn Russell, and I'm here to share with you my best fitness and healthy living strategies and tips, and they are so good, your body, mind, and spirit will be thankful that you listened. Hey there, friends. How's it going? It's me, Kai. I'm so stoked to have you here today. Thank you so much for tuning in. And first things first, if you are listening to this podcast and it is possible for you to move your body in some way, I encourage you to do so. So if you are on the train or the bus, go ahead and stand up if you're sitting down. If you are at the gym on a treadmill, well, keep on going. Good job. If you're at home, grab a broom or a mop, get some dishes done, do the laundry, and if you don't need to do any of those things, then put on some earbuds and go for a walk. Whatever you need to do, however it feels good, if it's snowing outside and you want to stay indoors, then grab a mat and a foam roller and just get moving. You'll know why after we dive in today's episode, and you will thank me. Okay, so I want to start with a little story. As you know, last week we were in Mexico on our family vacation. We were so blessed to get to do that. It was amazing. Really warm, beautiful beach, and just got to do so much movement and so much relaxing. It was so rejuvenating. Well, on the way home, we had a layover, which is never really a great idea on an international flight, but couldn't be avoided. So we had a layover, and we seemingly had plenty of time, about a little over 2 hours. And unfortunately, somehow I didn't quite understand how mobile passport check-in worked, and I ended up checking in twice, trying to beat the line and be efficient and, you know, be sly, even though it wasn't really sly. They were telling us all to do it. But anyway, I tried, and my ticket got flagged, basically, which meant that my whole family had to stand in a very long line because I had a big X on my receipt, and I got sent to the line with all the other X's, and it was long and it was slow. And certainly thanking all of the people for working. I'm not complaining. I'm just stating the facts that it was a long, slow line. And by the time we made it through there and then picked up our baggage and dropped it off again, and we were in the international terminal and had to get all the way to the other terminal, we were in a bit of a time crunch. And everyone who worked there basically told us that it was going to be much faster to walk than it would be to try to take the shuttle. So basically, my husband, my daughter, and I take off, and we are literally running from the international terminal. We're outside. The weather's fine. It's super crowded. My daughter is actually running in a unicorn onesie suit, fleece onesie suit, because that's what she really wanted to wear on the plane. And, you know, it was late at night. We were jet lagged. And so it seemed that was going to be great. So it was pretty hysterical. There's this little, you know, 6-year-old unicorn running full speed. I'm in flip-flops and carrying way too many bags because I overpacked as usual. It was kind of comedy. It could have been something straight out of a, you know, kind of comedy movie. And we made it. Long story short, we totally made it where we needed to be on time. We even had time to get some dinner, which was great because I was hungry. You know, basically when we got into our seats on the plane, we literally just burst out laughing. It was so funny at that point that we'd made it and we were on the plane. And the first thing I said once we just stopped laughing was, thank goodness we exercise, because there is no way we would have made it, actually, if we weren't able to run. You know, we weren't like winning any sprinting contests or anything. We weren't getting the gold, but we made it. You know, it was definitely something that just made me appreciate being active and really exercising and being fit. And then that just got me to thinking, okay, well, yes, we do exercise, but we're also physically active. And I just wanted to chat a little bit about that distinction and about those differences, because more and more research is showing that both are actually important. And most people, particularly people who are probably listening to this that are interested in a healthy lifestyle and are interested in Pilates and yoga and fitness, kind of think about exercise as what we should be doing, right? Like we should be exercising and getting our recommendations. And that's true. Exercise is really important, but it's also important to think about overall physical activity. And so you might be wondering, well, Kai, what is the difference? Okay, well, I'm gonna break it down. So physical activity is basically all of it, okay? So all the movements you do that basically use energy, okay? So walking, vacuuming, doing all of the things that we do where we're just moving around, moving our bodies, that is considered physical activity. So exercise is actually a type, it's a subset of physical activity. But not all physical activity is exercise. And exercise is planned and structured movements that increase physical fitness, particularly. So there are things that you are intentionally doing, thinking about improving your physical fitness, whereas physical activity, often we're just living our lives and we're moving around. Now, being more physically active does increase a healthy lifestyle. It leads to increases in health. And increasing exercise obviously increases physical fitness. And next week, I'm going to talk all about physical fitness and what that looks like. And then this week, I'm going to talk about physical activity particularly. And I want you to understand that both are important. Both are definitely needed in our overall scheme of health and wellness. Research has shown that both lead to improved sleep, improved brain function. In fact, a single bout of moderate intensity exercise can actually increase and improve executive function for a period of time after you exercise. So that's really important. Also, both are linked to improving depression and also improving depressive symptoms, improving anxiety, quality of life, and a decrease in mortality of all kinds, a decrease in type 2 diabetes, and a decrease in cardiovascular disease. So really good things, right? Lots of motivation to do both and definitely increase our movements. Now, the thing that we really want to contrast physical activity to is sedentary behaviors and being sedentary. And basically, being sedentary is on the rise. It is something that Americans in particular are being more and more sedentary. And a lot of that has to do with a change in work and our occupational status and increased commute times. But it also has to do with how we choose to use our leisure time. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But basically, anything that is sitting, reclining, or lying down is basically using very little energy. It's less than 1.5 metabolic equivalents of energy, which is METs, which is what is used to measure an activity. And being sedentary basically is linked to the inverse of all of those health benefits. So the more sedentary you are, the higher your risk of mortality, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and all of the other kind of health benefits related to being active is kind of the opposite. So you're more likely to have decreased sleep, decreased brain functioning, more depression, anxiety, decreased quality of life. All of those things increase as being sedentary increases as well. And one of the sayings that, you know, is very popular these days is sitting is the new smoking. Okay, so we all kind of have come on board with understanding how detrimental smoking cigarettes are for our health. And basically sitting is now the new smoking, right? So trying to think of ways that we can be more active and less sedentary is really important to our overall health. Okay. And so often people kind of wonder what the guidelines are, what we're trying to be doing with physical activity and exercise. And one of the reports that I really like to go by is looking at the 2018, this is a new report that came out last year on the physical activity guidelines for Americans. It was commissioned by the government and is a kind of widespread report made with many researchers and scientists in a wide range of fields. So it's an interdisciplinary approach to this. And the committee, spent a whole year, I believe, compiling this report. And their guidelines basically are for to continue with the previous guidelines, which the last time this report was produced was in 2008, and then this was the updated version of this of these guidelines. And so they continued with the 150 to 300 minutes of moderate to vigorous activity each week. That's their recommendation, is that we try to each week move our bodies in a moderate to vigorous way. And you might wonder, well, what does that actually mean? Like, you've heard moderate intensity, you've heard vigorous intensity, and basically that is a measurement of how much energy one is expending during an activity. Okay. And so it's going to take into account how many calories are being used, how much energy is being produced, that the METs, the metabolic equivalents is how it's measured. But basically, studies have actually shown that for the most part, our perceived how hard we are exercising, how hard we perceive that we're exercising, our perceived rate of exertion is actually really similar in most cases to the actual rate of exertion or level of exertion. So one of the tests you can do, there are ways that you can measure this, looking at your heart rate, and you're basically going to take your maximum heart rate and multiply that times different percentages depending if you're going to be vigorous, moderate, or light. But just the perceived rate of exertion, light intensity is basically that you can sing while you're doing this activity. So you could think of housework, right? A lot of times, maybe you're singing. I like to sing when I'm doing some housework, and that's certainly easy to do. So it's not a vigorous intensity exercise. It's very light. You can sing. Moderate intensity is where you can talk. Okay, so you can chat with a buddy. So think about going on a walk. You might be walking kind of briskly, and maybe you're not going to be having a full blown conversation, but you can chat. Maybe you're breathing a little heavily while you're doing that, but you're still able to talk, and that would be moderate intensity. And then vigorous intensity is where you are working hard enough, you're breathing fast enough that you actually can't carry on a conversation. Okay. And so basically, this 150 to 300 minutes of moderate to vigorous activity each week is the recommendation, the guidelines for physical activity that have been produced and are being promoted. And that basically Here's what's exciting about this. So that might seem a little daunting, okay? Like 150 to 300 minutes. Maybe some of us look at that and I get it. We're really busy. We've got, you know, the kids and the house and work and all of the things that we do. But here's something that's really cool. So when looking at the 2008 guidelines, at that time, the recommendation was that people needed to get these increments, do their exercise and their physical activity in at least 10-minute increments. And now, because there are more sophisticated measuring techniques and there's been studies that really looked at, well, are there benefits at exercising in less than 10-minute bouts? And they actually have determined that yes, it is beneficial, even if you're only exercising for 1 or 2 minutes, that little bit, even those little less than 10-minute chunks, add up and basically contribute to the overall total. And the total amount is more important than the distribution. So as long as you're really getting that 150 to 300 minutes throughout your week, it can really be arranged in almost any way. So that is really encouraging, right? So maybe you only have 10 minutes a day, right? So obviously some days you're going to need to do a little more than that to get to 150 minutes. But if most days you only have 10 minutes, that is basically the take home is that something is better than nothing, even if it's only a minute. And a minute really we can do. Okay. So that's the first take home. Is that we don't necessarily need to really stress about how long we're exercising each time, that any amount is actually going to help to contribute to the whole. Okay. Now, the next kind of cool thing to think of is this idea of physical activity versus exercise. Okay, so there are a lot of ways to exercise kind of quickly, and there's just so many resources out there to get in short little workouts. I have a bunch, like people have workouts that are available. However, sometimes that in and of itself, like you are still separating out your day and you're gonna, you know, need to get your mat or put on your running shoes and kind of just go about, you know, getting some exercise in. And I do want to make it clear that's still important. I do still encourage you to do that. And the guidelines do specify that that is important. However, what I'd like for you to think of is how you can be more physically active throughout your day. Because the study, some of the results actually indicated that the more sedentary we are, the more risk we have. And that risk does decrease with recommended physical activity. But being sedentary in and of itself is dangerous. So something to keep in mind is how we can actually increase physical activity throughout our day, even if it's not necessarily exercise. Okay. And so to help you kind of think about how this can happen, I want to go over just the types of physical activity. And this will be very similar to next week when we talk about what physical fitness is. But basically, types of physical activity, I want you to think about aerobic activity, which is where you are expending energy that requires oxygen uptake. You're going to be expending it for a long enough period of time that you have to sustain that while you're increasing your oxygen intake, right? So you can think of long walks, marathons. You're going at a pace that you can sustain over a long period of time. And then there's anaerobic activity or exercise that basically is of such an intense, it's so high intensity that you can only sustain it for, say, 2 or 3 minutes. So we're thinking about sprinting, maybe powerlifting, something that you really couldn't do for very long because you are expending energy and oxygen faster than you can replenish it, okay, at a greater rate than what it can be replenished. And then the other component of physical activity is muscle strengthening. And that basically is considering muscle strength, endurance, and power. And I'll talk about more those next week too, but basically how much force we can, you know, how much force one can create with their muscles, how long or what over what period of time that can be sustained, that would be endurance, and then how fast the movement can occur would be the power. And then you also want to look at bone strengthening activities, flexibility activities, and balance activities. And then what's really cool to me is that these 28 guidelines, the physical activity guidelines, actually also included mind-body activities like yoga and tai chi, and I would also include Pilates in there as its own kind of category or type of physical activity, which is amazing. And they discussed how these activities are basically a compilation of muscle strengthening, balance work, light intensity, aerobic activity, and sometimes I will say it can get moderate, right? Like I've had some pretty hard classes out there where I definitely got some aerobic work going that was higher than light intensity, and then flexibility. Okay, so they kind of are a one-stop shop. And then even mentioning, the report actually mentioned that the mind-body component could have additional benefits for mental health that are challenging to measure separately from the exercise. So I thought that was really kind of cool and significant, and I really enjoyed that because it is so true. Mind-body exercise is where it's at, yo, which I think you probably already know. Okay. So those types of physical activity, when you're thinking about how you can increase physical activity, you can think about all of those different arenas, right? So maybe you're rolling out and increasing your flexibility right now, or you're standing on one leg and doing a little balance challenge while you're listening to this, or you're vacuuming, or, you know, folding the laundry. All of these things will have some component of physical activity to them. And then, you know, the other way to think about this are what the domains of physical activity are and how we actually do physical activity and where we do it in our lives. And there's four major categories for that. And one is occupational. And this can make a lot of sense, right? So if you're thinking about more traditional forms of work, right, there used to be a lot more kind of physical activity and movement in most of our occupations. And certainly now more and more people are losing that component to their work, right? So farmers are definitely farm workers. There's going to be a very high level of physical activity to their jobs, probably more than is actually beneficial because of the high rates of musculoskeletal injuries that we see in that population. Also, you know, anyone who's moving outside or doing work in the field, anyone who is basically, even factory workers used to do more kind of physical activity. And then now through automation, things have actually decreased the amount of physical activity that one does. So we are basically creating more and more systems that decrease physical activity in our jobs and our workplaces. And, you know, that also has benefits because a lot of kind of workplace or occupational activity could get very repetitive and cause distress and injury in and of itself for that. But, you know, this is where we're seeing things like standing desks, right, where people are trying to incorporate some more physical activity into their kind of work life. And for that, I will say that is, you know, those can be a really good way to increase movement. Also, you know, if you need to talk to a coworker, get up and go find them, like walk and go find them. Don't just send an email, right? Things like that, how you can actually get a little bit of movement. Once an hour, get up and decide you're going to go get some water or just walk around your floor or go outside, whatever you can do to increase the physical activity. Take your phone calls standing up, put them on your cell phone, go for a little walk, all of those things. Transportational physical activity is basically how we get to and from places, particularly work and school, right? And so bike to work day is a really good example of how we can get more physical activity while we are commuting. That's also beneficial for the environment. Typically, if we are using ourselves to power our commute, then we are not necessarily using some type of fossil fuel, which is great. And then there's also household physical activity, which is anything that you do, kind of like your chores, what you do to maintain your house and keep your house kind of clean and orderly. And I love thinking about household activities as physical activity and a way for me to be more active and kind of just as a health promoting activity, because I'm not a big fan of the household chores, I gotta tell ya. And so this really does help me shift my mindset around it and help me tidy and clean and be more organized. And then leisure time physical activity. And this is one of the main ones too, where we've seen a decline in physical activities in the, you know, kind of recent decades. And as things like watching TV and playing video games have taken more and more of our leisure time, we have lost kind of physically active leisure time activities. And basically, leisure time activities are anything that basically doesn't involve work or household or commuting. So things you just do for fun. So gardening could actually fall into either household or leisure time activities, right? Some people look at that as a chore, some people it's a hobby, but maybe going and bowling one day instead of watching a movie, or making playing with your kids is a great one, right? Taking the dog for a walk, all of these things that the more active we can be in our leisure time, there are really significant health benefits. And there is a kind of health pyramid or physical activity pyramid that goes along that is a great kind of way to think about this. And at the bottom is basically choosing to be active as much as possible throughout your day. So you've probably heard, take the stairs, don't take the elevator or the escalator, park your car really far away from where you need to go, don't, you know, waste time looking for a close parking spot. All of those things basically really can add up. So I encourage you to think about how you can get a little extra movement in today and every day. And the benefits are going to be so great for you, for your physical health, for your mental health, even your emotional and spiritual health. And just keep in mind that both are important. And one of the things I like to think about with exercise is that often exercising helps us have the energy and have the kind of pain-free body to be more physically active and to choose those leisure time activities that are physical. So I like to look at exercise as basically training me so that I can be active and I can do things like run all the way across a major airport when I need to, in flip-flops with a heavy backpack on and a heavy bag, and even carrying my 6-year-old child for part of it, okay? So thank you, Pilates. Thank you, yoga. Thank you, all the exercise I do, because I've made my flight, and I really do thank all of that. Okay, so if you are enjoying this podcast, thank you so much for tuning in. And please, I would love it if you would write a review. You can do it straight from your phone. You can write me a review in iTunes, would be great, or whatever other platform you are listening to this in. It is really helpful and also is just a lot of fun to see too. Okay, so take care, and I'll be talking to you soon. Have a great day. Bye.